want to live a life on fire and on mission. You want to be filled with such conviction and drive that you stop caring about what anyone thinks. You want to face each day alive, authentic, and fully present in every moment. With your wife, with your kids, on the street, at work. You want to bring yourself to the table and to stop bringing the watered-down, nice, what-everyone-wants version of you. You want that self to be a man who is burning in passion for Jesus, unafraid to bring his kingdom to anyone in your path, no matter what it costs you. You want to love the one in front of you without fear, without needing love back, and without reserve. You want to husband well. You want to father well. You want to shepherd your life well. You want to be a safe pillar for anybody around you. You want to experience God for real, to not just believe, but to know that he's got you and that he'll show up on your behalf, that he'll show up through you. You want to get to the end of your race and say, yep, I gave it everything. Jesus, you know I'm all in. And you want to know just how to get there. Welcome to Man Warrior King. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Congratulations. You're among the violent taking the kingdom by force. You're among the chosen answering the call to rise above yourself. You're in the forge being stripped down and strengthened, and you will rise stronger, solid, unshakable. You are a man. You're a warrior. You are a king. Good afternoon, gentlemen. This is Matt Halleck coming to you with another episode of the Man Warrior King podcast. I am so thankful that you have joined me today for this episode that I think is going to be eye-opening. I think it's going to be mind-altering, but not in like the psychedelic drug type of meaning. But it's going to alter the way that you think. It's going to alter the way that you believe. And my hope is that it actually leads to the point where it alters the way that you behave in your home. So, this is definitely something that you are going to want to hear. And as I get into it, I just wanted to remind you about the book, The DNA of a Man. Thank you for heading over to Amazon and grabbing a copy. It has so much in it that we men just simply don't get. And this ties into what the topic of today is all about. But you guys, I am a member, sometimes vocal, sometimes quiet, but I'm a member of a few different like Christian men's groups on Facebook because I both want to chime in and help guys when I have the time to send a long response to someone's post or something like that. But when I stay silent, I'm often just browsing through to see what is it that we men are going through. How are we doing life and how are we doing in our lives? And there are many good, solid men in these groups online, but I do notice that it seems though, like in general, we men are worried, are concerned, are suffering from, are battling through troubles, struggles, wounds that are related to stuff that's just around the home. And it's almost like Jesus saved us, but then we just go ahead and stay where we are. See, when Jesus was on earth the first time, in the Gospels, he said that I came to seek and to save what was lost. So yes, that includes people, but I also believe that includes the state of people, right? So when we were originally created in Genesis, our identity, our purpose, our mission was established. God said, "You are made in my image. Now go into all the world and subdue it. Take dominion over it. Reproduce, multiply. Multiply my image over the face of the earth." He didn't give us the Garden of Eden and say, "Here you go, have fun there for the rest of your life, frolicking around." He created Adam and he gave him a job to do. And he had even smaller jobs to do also along the way. He said, "Hey, tend the garden." He said, "Hey, name the animals." But he did say, all with the overarching goal of subduing the earth and taking dominion over it. And I got to say that most guys today, I don't know about most. It seems like it, to be honest. But many men today, we have a hard time just getting to the point where we can even be on our mission because we are so worried about, we're so hurting by the brokenness of our foundational elements of life, like our marriages. So we have all this heartache, all of this struggle, all of this pain going on, and we are so consumed with that that we are not actually like asking questions, "Hey, brothers, how can I grow in my courage to pray for somebody to be healed? How can I walk in my everyday life and spread the kingdom to the cashier?" How can I help to eliminate poverty from my community? Because so many times we go through our days just consumed by the latest, you know, fight with our wives. This is not what Jesus died for. So we've got to figure out, I think, not just how to like forget about those issues and ignore them and just hope they go away, which is actually a lot of advice out there, if I'm being 100% honest. And I'm sorry, you guys, but this topic, it pisses me off because there are guys, there are men who are hurting in their marriages who don't know what to do and who are looking for help. But there is a drastic lack of help in the church. There are many men who try to help, who are well-intentioned. There's many teachings, many blog posts, many books that are well-intentioned, but they are not helping a huge portion of men. Because our marriage advice has lost the God-given role of masculinity. It has lost the God-created role of masculinity. See, okay, I mentioned that these guys who are hurting, they get advice that almost just says, "Hey, you know what? You got to try to just forget about it, not think about it, and go on with life." Which, I'm sorry, you guys. I'm sorry, but God said that we should pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I want to translate that to, "Your will be done in marriage as it is in heaven." Okay, so it doesn't mean that we snap our fingers and all of a sudden the marriage is perfect and like paradise. But we've got to stop just settling when we should be fighting for something. So, for example, a certain guy is struggling, okay? struggling in his marriage. So that's his own word, struggling. His wife wants to feel loved. He wants to feel respected. And they're in this place where they both feel like the other one needs to start before they are willing to go ahead and give, okay? And this guy wants to follow Jesus, and he wants to love his wife. He's not a bad guy. He says that he knows he should be loving his wife like Jesus loves the church. That is our party line, right? Christian men, you got to love your wife like Jesus loves the church. And I'm not saying that that is not true, but I'm saying that it's misapplied. He says, I work 80 plus hours a week while she stays home with her kids. I'm still taking care of all of the household chores and meals. What advice do you have to inspire her to respect me? And how can I show more love for my wife when I'm being disrespected daily? I am willing to bet that many of you listening to this podcast feel similarly. You are working your butt off to take care of your family, and you are not an absent husband or father. You are helping at home. You are not even just helping, but you are taking ownership over things in the home. And you're feeling like, dude, I'm trying so hard here, and yet my wife doesn't seem to care or respect me or want me. She doesn't seem to be attracted to me. It's almost like she's bored with me. It's almost like she'd rather be doing something else all the time in my presence. And so there is advice that gets thrown around all the time, including stuff like you're called to serve your wife like Jesus served the church. Yes, I agree. It says you're accountable to God. You're responsible for your half. Yes. Work on serving her the way you know you're supposed to, and while doing so, pray for her continuously. And so I guess the idea behind this kind of advice that we see all over the place, worry about your half, serve her, love her like Jesus serves and loves the church. And while you do that, just pray really hard, brother. I understand that we are called to love regardless, like Jesus. But we are not loving our wives like Jesus does when we are doing all of those things and we are just shutting up and praying hard. Because do you know what that means? That basically means that you're just supposed to do your best and forget about it and get over it. I do not see Jesus or God throughout the entire Bible doing his best and then giving up and moving on. There came points where he said, okay, I have tried and I have been open with you. I've been forthright with you, and yet you still have refused me. So now I am giving you over to captivity. Right, and he doesn't ever force his people into anything. Jesus doesn't force us to love him. That's the whole reason behind the two trees in the garden in the first place. It's never a thing of forcing us. But you guys, what we don't get told is that this approach of just serving her, work on serving her, work on loving her, just, you know, die to that selfish desire and just love her and all that stuff, is that it is not actually love. That's right. It is not actually love. Because most of the time, all of our efforts to do this and that and cover 80 hours of work and all the meals and the kids and everything like that, it's all out of an effort to get what we want out of our wives. And that is not love. That is neediness. And that's manipulation. And it's going to lead to more and more resentment from her. You wonder why she's not respecting you. It's because you are doing everything as a little peon offering an offering to a tall 90-foot statue, an idol, who is your wife. Because if you offer this, this, and this to her, then hopefully she's going to do her godlike thing and make everything all right, make you feel good, and give you what it is that you want and need. So of course she doesn't respect you because you take this posture. And we think, we call it being Christ-like. And we feel as though it would be sinful and wrong for us to stand up, grow a pair, and in strength say what it is that we desire and need in this relationship. Not what we need in order to be complete and fulfilled. Because you, sir, if you are going through all this stuff and you're caught up in how difficult this is and you're obsessing about the pain, I promise, well, I'm going to venture to say that you are making an idol out of your wife, and you are putting the burden on her to supply the need that you have to feel fulfilled and worthy, worthwhile, valuable. And if things aren't clicking between you two, then you feel like crap and like you're a crappy person. Okay? But Jesus, when he loves us without end. And his love for us will endure no matter what we do, whether we receive or don't receive it. But he never loves us like a doormat. He never loves us without voicing his rules of engagement, his boundaries, his desires and needs. He doesn't need anything, but in a relationship with us, he does need that we relate in a certain way. And so you don't relate to your wife out of neediness, which is weak and small and hoping that she'll throw you a bone like a panting doggy with your tail wagging. But you still communicate, hey, in this marriage, this is what I need in order to feel loved and respected and wanted by you. If I do not get these things, then I do not feel loved, respected, and wanted. And when that happens, though I will continue to love you and keep my attraction to you cranked to 11, you will not be getting the best of me. You will not be getting the most intimate connection with me possible. I will not alter my love of you based on your behavior, but your behavior will
play a part in the outcomes that we experience in our marriage. See, we don't communicate this way, you guys, because we feel like it's sinful, we feel like it's selfish, and we feel like it's just going to perpetuate the problem. I went through this stuff, and I made this change where I started talking in a way that was strong and assertive about what I want in our marriage. And it changed everything. Because I went from this little peon serving an idol to a strong, present man who was able to stand tall in my marriage, in my home, and tall enough, if we're imagining a visual here, taller than my wife, not in to lord over her in power and whatnot, but so that I could stretch over her more like an umbrella or a shelter to cover her. And when I speak to her from that posture, it might still lead to fights and conflict because she does have her own issues that she's bringing to the table. And so she may not like these things. But that's no sign that you are doing it wrong. Chances are, if you've never communicated this way before, you probably will do it wrong. You probably will mess up. But you know what? I'd rather have you in the ring than not at all. Because in the ring is where you learn. In the ring is where you practice. In the ring is where you make progress and you move forward and you work your way towards on earth as it is in heaven, or in marriage as it is in heaven. It's not just about you serving more. I mean, chances are, sir, if you are working as much as you say, and you are doing all the dishes, you are doing all the meals, you are blah, 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 and she doesn't respect you, it's because you don't ever stand up for yourself. You don't respect yourself, so why would she respect you? It's because you do not say, hey, you know what? I am maxed out. I will not be doing these meals anymore. I am already working this much. I cannot fit more on my plate because the type of dad I want to be is somebody who comes home and is able to spend time with my kids. So for me, that means I will not be cooking. I will be playing with them. And then you follow through. And you're not doing these things in resentment. You're not doing them out of like trying to rub anything in. You are simply being true to the principles that you know you need to live by. And it might be inconvenient for your wife, but it will be good because she wants somebody who stands strong. She wants somebody who knows what he wants and goes after it. She wants somebody who is assertive and bold and confident in that, in him, in his skin, and willing to voice it. Yes, willing to humbly hear her as well and to serve her. But serving gets poisoned when it's in this type of mindset. Serving is valuable when we understand our worth. Serving does miracles when we understand how highly we are to be honored, and yet we choose to get low. Serving does no good when we are feeling needy and manipulative and bitter and butthurt because of how we're not getting the respect we need. And it just pisses me off that not more of us have been taught this. Another piece of advice is sometimes you have to submit. Just play the long game. Let her know you love her and the rest can follow. Yes, that is true. But let her know you love her and also carry yourself in a way that shows her that you love yourself as well. That is a missing piece over and over. When we see our wives this way, where we have this like, well, just serve her more, love her like Jesus, God's building your character, all of that stuff, we make our wives into villains. We make them into bad guys, which when we got married, we said that that was not the case. And yet then we start to look at ourselves as a victim of her. And she is then her, the way that she is a tool that God is using to cause you to suffer so you can get stronger. And I'm sorry, that is dishonoring to her. God might be leading you to grow as a man, to build your character, to get strong, to have faith, and that's coming through the fire of your marriage, but it's not because you're a victim of your wife. It's because you are reaping consequences of sinful relating. And people also give this advice to love God and find your joy in Him above all else. And that, again, is true. But if you're doing that while nursing your wounds, feeling like, oh my goodness, my wife this, my wife that, okay, I better just love God above everything else. It is incomplete. It is still neglecting your role as a man. See, Jesus, as our groom, right? He laid down for us on no uncertain terms. There was no negotiating with Him. Hey, if you want the best of me, then you must do these things. Lay down your life. Take up your cross. You must hear my words and live by them. If you want to be close to me, then get to know me, spend time with me, seek me. And He laid down His life and served us. And He prayed to His Father for us that we would know Him and that we would be transformed. See, you guys, we just lay down our lives for our wives and we pray to God that they would be transformed. But without that missing piece of learning how to stand up and say, listen, in this relationship, this is what it will take to know me the best, to be closest to me, to get the best I have to offer. If you do not provide those things, then I will still be okay. Because my anchor is in God, and He and I are on page with each other, and I'm running after Him as a general rule. I definitely want you there. I want to invite you into that with me, wife, but it's your choice to join me or not. That's different than this kind of advice that says, oh, man, love her and pray that God will change her. And pray that God will change your heart so that you can love her through this. I hope you guys are picking up what I'm throwing out there. It just drives me crazy. Because actually, what this advice does in the church is it makes us weak, wimpy, non-manly, and we wonder why our wives don't respect us. Gentlemen, that's all I've got for you on this episode of the Man Warrior King podcast. I thank you for listening. Make sure, I would love it. I know I say it in the recording that follows, but I would love if you could quickly on iTunes just hit the 5 stars or even 4 stars. Leave a brief review saying what you think of this. That would help me greatly. Stay tuned because there is more coming, my friends. Let's go into the kingdom together. Let's invite our wives to join us in it instead of begging them. Till next time.
This is Matt Halleck signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out, take more ground, push back darkness. Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker, you are a giver. Abundance is your atmosphere.